So we're not. Okay, this is the Board of Standards and Appeals public review session, April 12, 2021, 2 p.m. session. We are going to take a 20-minute break, half an hour?
30-minute break, coming back at 2:30, because we ran continuously to the afternoon session. So we'll be back at 2:30 and resume the, or begin the 2 p.m. session for today, okay? Thank you, everyone. See you in a bit.
Okay.
Okay, everybody.
We have a quorum?
We do. 1, 2, 3.
Four.
5.
All right. Do you want to start?
Yep.
Are we ready?
Can start. Yep.
Okay. Good afternoon. This is the Board of Standards and Appeals public review session for April 12, 2021, 2 p.m. session. There is no public testimony during this review session. The first item is SOC calendar continued hearing items. Item number 18, 200-01BZ, 18215 Hillside Avenue, Queens.
Okay. The main question presented here is what items are open that prevent sign off and completion of the required paperwork to obtain a certificate of occupancy. As requested, the applicant provided a list of job filings and their status, which open jobs would delay issuance of a CO. It states that all but the subject job and a public assembly application are signed off or withdrawn. However, the revised statement of facts also states that, quote, certain other open applications need to be closed, unquote. I'd like to understand what that statement is referring, because it contradicts itself. The alteration type one application to add the 12th floor is job number last four digits 0063, the permit for which appears to have expired in 2018. Biz shows that many open items are required prior to sign off. So I'm not quite understanding the summary provided that indicates only the board's decision is holding up the CO's issuance. It looks like there's many more things that haven't been done. And I always ask about those because, you know, an applicant will say that they're working diligently at obtaining a CO and then 2 years later they come back and they haven't gotten it. And I don't like to keep dragging this out. If the applicant is in control of the building as opposed to one tenant in a building, then why can't you get a CO? In response to staff comments, the applicant provided an engineer's letter concerning a recent violation. The letter is dated March 16th about the violation about the facade and efforts underway to correct it. This violation was not mentioned in the statement of facts. It was discovered by our project manager. That was Tony, right? Okay. The $2,500 ECB penalty needs to be paid before we vote on this, which is a board policy. Okay, any other comments, Vice Chair Shanda?
No, I don't have any additional comments.
Okay, Commissioner Ollie Brown?
No additional comments.
Commissioner Sheta?
Nothing further from me except one thing. I want to know the time frame for the filing for the facade by the engineer. They mentioned that he's preparing specs and he's working on a filing regarding the facade. What is the time frame for achieving that? We don't want to, like you said, Chair, we don't want to drag these kind of issues forever. So just give us commit to a time frame so we can like judge next time you come before.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thanks. And Commissioner Shibeta.
Nothing further from me, Chair.
Okay, thank you.
Item number 19395-04BZ, 1232 54th Street, Brooklyn.
Okay, I thought applicant was very responsive to our comments and the plans were revised accordingly. The applicant did a good job establishing that the project has not been abandoned under the Putnam-Armand test, and to the contrary, showed a long history of diligently trying to pursue Attorney General approval for the sale of the property that would finance the construction of the synagogue. I do understand that such a transaction would leave the synagogue debt-free, presumably, to pursue its own construction. But I wonder why, it's more like curiosity, it hasn't to date considered instead taking out a loan that's collateralized by the other property that it owns instead of waiting for AG approval, unless even to do that, you might need AG approval because a loan collateralized with another property that's owned by a not-for-profit may, because that now brings in another potential owner, may also need AG approval. And there you go, in the same place you were before. I'm not that familiar with that, how those regulations work. We had asked though for a dry, so this is now to the plans, for a dry and refrigerated trash storage area to be provided, since this building will have small social events that involve food. The solution provided is to locate the trash rooms in what was planned to be coat or small storage closets that open directly into the social hall. I actually don't understand how this would work. They're very small closets. So where to say the folding chairs and other elements that usually go in such a closet go instead? And what type of receptacle is proposed in such a small closet? It's the size of basically your kind of little hallway coat closet that's just enough for a few raincoats and your rain boots kind of thing. The only viable choice would be trash compactors, since the closets are too small. Otherwise, if trash compactors are what's intended, then please provide cut sheets on that. We have seen for a daycare center the use of these very small under-counter trash compactors, and the calculations that showed that was sufficient to handle a daycare center's uses or needs. So maybe that's the solution. I don't know. On the opaquing windows at the first floor, which was a requirement of the prior grant, the resolution requires this as a condition and refers to the approved plans in the resolution, but the approved plans make no mention of the opaquing windows. I'm trying to understand actually the purpose of the opaque windows, because it's not explained in the resolution. If their purpose is because the synagogue may be operating late at night, then the second floor windows, which are the lights for the double height space, should also be opaque. So it's not, I don't think, correctly represented there. But also the word opaque means that they actually let no light through. So I'm not sure that that was the intention either. I think the intent may have been translucent, such as milk glass or stained glass, which is probably one reason that houses of worship often have colored glass, because it reduces the light, the glow, onto adjoining properties, in addition to it being very pretty. So more recently, we've required that those same windows provide sound attenuation. In other words, be double glazed, so they bring the attenuation up to an STC rating of 29 or something like that, because sometimes the sound is really what the issue is for the neighbors. But whichever solution is appropriate here, the elevations and plans need to be clear as to which windows it applies. So it should be both on the plans and the elevations. That was a point noted by our project manager. There's also a note on the drawings about venting to the roof, as was a condition of the grant. But the roof plan doesn't show the vent. So do show the vent there to make it clear. And those were my comments. Okay. So Vice Chair Shonda?
Yeah, my comments were related to the notes that was previously in the approved plans, and those have been carried over. I think you raised some good points about the why opaque as opposed to translucent. So as far as I remember, the resolution said opaque windows for the privacy of residents. So I'm actually trying to look at the plan, which would show exactly where the windows were in relation to the abutting. If it so maybe it's maybe it was at level that it was visible for that reason.
Right. I don't know.
Trying to locate the approved plan. Okay, here, I found it.
So the approved plan doesn't indicate which ones are opaque. It just says on the resolution, first floor, see plans. And then
right.
plans that doesn't show anything. So I don't actually know which windows. And the way that this is designed is it has windows at two levels. It's not one continuous window like we sometimes see, like a cathedral window is two windows, one on top of the other. And the second set is actually at the second floor level, which is really the double height space for the
right.
prayer hall. So,
yeah. Yeah, unfortunately, we don't have the radius plan to see what the abutting buildings are to kind of get a sense of which windows would have made more sense.
Right.
I assumed it's the side windows also because the building next to it is residential, if I seem to remember.
Yes.
And so you also want to make sure there's privacy from that, from the side windows also, as well as the rear.
Yes. Okay. So, you know, the applicant may remember the conversation and can help us with this. So.
Yeah. Otherwise, I have no comments on this.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Commissioner Ollie Brown?
I have no additional comments.
Thanks. Commissioner Sheta?
Nothing further from me. Thank you.
Thank you. Commissioner Shiveta?
Further from me. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
New cases, item number 20, 12-01BZ, 2829 Edson Avenue, the Bronx.
Okay, we have proof of service of initial application and of notice of hearing to officials. We have a very strong letter in opposition to this application from the community board, who complains that this and the adjacent property owner, both BSA variance recipients, never improved the street and sidewalk in front of their properties as they are normally obligated to do by DOT Builders Pavement Plan and DOB. According to the materials, DOT and DOB granted a waiver of this rule at the time of the grant because, as is reported, the area was underdeveloped or undeveloped. This is no longer the case. The community board now asks that this board require this improvement prior to considering the extension of the term and definitely not eliminate the term as has been requested by the applicant. By letter dated February 24th, 21, the applicant states that it agrees to improve the sidewalk along Grace Avenue, but I didn't see any, and I didn't see any further comments from the community board about whether the applicant's proposal is responsive to their requests. The letter refers to an enclosed letter of commitment. The letter from the applicant in February 24th refers to an enclosed letter of commitment from the owner, but I actually didn't see that in our materials. So I think we only got the cover letter, or maybe the whole thing didn't download. I don't know, but so please resubmit that commitment letter from the owner. The applicant submitted a copy of the builder's pavement plan for the church that's across the street from the site. I think that builder's pavement plan is helpful, but we should also see a builder's pavement plan for the subject site. It appears that the other side of Grace Avenue is properly paved and supplied with a sidewalk for what looks like its entire length, while the subject side has no sidewalk over most of its length, except for just at the immediate corner. So with respect to that builder's pavement plan, we'll need DOT and fire department to opine on the width of the roadbed, the actual driving surface, and whether parking on the subject site side will be prohibited if a sidewalk is installed, because it'll reduce the driving lane width. We need a site survey because it's very unclear from images where the property line is versus where the roadbed is. I believe the roadbed was mapped pretty wide, like at 65 feet or something like that, but I can't tell where that is relative to this site. I'm a bit confused also about the tax lot description and the varying depictions of the tax lots as separate and distinct while not. The statement of fact states that the subject tax lot is lot 18 and the other is lot 6, the other which is the subject also of a BSA action for a storage facility. While the site plan seems to indicate that required parking and loading berths for the subject use group 6 retail building are located on both lots 18 and 6. I'd like the applicant to clarify this, explain. I understand they are all on one zoning lot, but the variance allowed 90 parking spaces and one loading berth for this use and 3 parking spaces and 6 loading berths for the other use. So maybe what is really happening is a few of those 90 parking spaces are located on lot 6. But I really, you just have to kind of guess because the applicant doesn't explain this. And that needs to be clarified in the materials and in the resolution. On the proposed amendments, the applicant needs to explain why the site cannot be brought into compliance with the approved plans as to landscaping. I see no reason why not. The chain link fencing and landscaping along Grace Avenue, based on Google imagery, anyway, Street View imagery, looks rather unkempt and now is directly across the street from a church that's really, really outfitted with, you know, kind of beautiful detailing and fencing and landscaping and everything. And it's also opposite, the site is opposite small scale residential development, so 3-story residential development. So that kind of a chain link fencing and kind of overgrown, unkempt landscaping is no longer an appropriate way to be handling that site. Once a sidewalk is put in, the fence should be replaced with metal picket to match the church fencing and landscaping behind it, as the church did and as was shown on the plans that it should have landscaping behind it. This will greatly improve the character of Grace Avenue for the residential community that fronts on it and for the people who attend the House of Worship across the street. The existing site plan does not really depict existing site conditions as to landscaping and fencing. When I compare the imagery to the drawings, they don't match. That needs to be corrected based on an actual site visit and showing what the actual conditions are. That's one reason to provide a survey, which will be more accurate. Neighborhood character is decidedly commercial along Edson and Bartow and on the subject side of Grace Avenue. So that would be the tax block. The question presented by the applicant is therefore, should the 20-year term be lifted with the understanding that uses are restricted to use group 6 retail with complying C11 signage? There was supposed to be a lighting submission. I didn't see that. Maybe it's there, but I didn't find it. The drawings don't show the dumpsters kept within an enclosure. Maybe they are, it's just not clear. They must be, the drawings don't show that they are. If the enclosure isn't already constructed, it should be with masonry walls and opaque steel doors, not chain link with slatting. This is a standard board requirement to make them more, let's say, more durable. Most of the time we see them in a collapsed state after a few years. We do have a letter of no objection from fire department. And those are my comments. Vice Chair Shanda.
Okay, thank you. Yes, it would be helpful to provide the history of the entirety of the zoning lot and the plan that was approved for that. And that is also the reason for asking that is to get a better understanding of the maneuverability plan. The site is accessible from Etzel and from, the other street, Grace Avenue. But the Etzel curb cut is Edson is next to is on the other zoning lot, and the Grace Avenue is for the subject zoning lot. So the fact that both of these parking lots are shared and can be used for accessing, I think needs to be clearly shown. And there also needs to be some agreement also that allows them to do that. So we should look at those documents at the same time, because now they're under different ownership. I agree with you with regards to the trash enclosure. It needs to be improved. Right now it's kind of falling apart. With regards to the loading bay that is being proposed, I just want to make sure how the loading bay is going to be, the trucks are going to access the site. The landscaping, definitely along Grace Avenue, they could put additional 4 foot wide area along Grace Avenue within their lot to provide landscaping and buffer the parking area. If you look at the photos, you can see that the parking space, parking area, unpaved area right next to the parking along Grace Avenue. So definitely those can be planted. It's not like one has to dig up a concrete. The same goes for the frontage along Edson Avenue. There's also mulch and untreated muddy area that can also be green. So I think all the amenities for greening is there. It's a matter of just doing it. And the illumination sign, the applicant says that the size is 500 square foot and the maximum height as approved was 40 feet. So I just want to make sure if this sign is an illuminated sign or not. It wasn't clear from the statements provided, and the applicant needs to provide lumen diagram and also need to indicate the light source on the plans.
Mm-hmm. So with respect to the sign, the question is it illuminated? Does the height of the new sign comply with the rules for illuminated signage with respect to height, right? Okay.
Yes.
I just wanted to clarify a statement. These are all on the same zoning lot. They're separate tax lots. So when we're talking about it, we're talking about tax lots. It is all on one zone.
Sorry. Okay. Thank you for the clarification. Right. So I'm sure there are agreements in yes. terms of operation, maintenance, all of those also need to be very clear. So one service should not be affected by the other.
So it's sort of like there should be cross easements.
Yes, cross easement agreement of sorts.
Right.
Okay. Just as a matter of information, the adjacent lot, which was subject to the variance, they also filed recently.
They filed?
The same applicant filed. I just don't know the address on that one. Sorry, off the top of my head.
The submission says they will file. They have filed already?
Yeah, they have. 1301 BZ was filed recently, I think.
Yeah, so she said she was going to file and she represented.
March 23rd.
March 23rd, okay.
Thank you, Jella. Thank you, I couldn't remember.
All right, great, thank you. Hold on a second, March 23rd filed. Okay, thanks. Commissioner Ollie Brown.
I was happy to see that the owner of this lot agreed to build out that street on Grace so that it matches the opposite side where the church is. But I think we need to nail them down on a plan and a time frame so that we can ensure that it's done as soon as possible and doesn't sit until they come to us again and then perhaps have an excuse as to why they didn't do it. And in addition, I agree that the trash enclosure needs to be built with the cement block walls and the steel doors.
We can even say, because it's not like they have to improve the road bed, it's improving the sidewalk. It's a totally different process, right? So we could even say we need to see that done while this is in hearing. They can get started on it quickly, right?
That would be great.
Yeah. Okay, great. Sorry, just taking one second. Commissioner Shaita?
Thank you, Chair. Two main points. Number one, I believe should be no grant until the sidewalk is fixed. Mm-hmm. Number two, the luminous spread diagram, I believe it should be done in coordination with the other side that was healed in March. I recall that on that other side, we asked them to do measurements on the sidewalk of the residential across the street. I believe they should do that, use the same measurements for both sides and maybe expand on the scope of the measurement a little bit. But I didn't see a luminous spread either on that project. So we need to get this done.
Okay, we haven't heard this new application yet. Are you referring to
not this one?
Oh, another one.
Yeah.
So the neighbor was just filed, right? The lot six just filed their application to extend their term, right? Are you referring to another site that we looked at?
I believe we looked at a site that's adjacent to this site.
Yes, it was the gas station on Bartow.
Oh, the gas station that's just right there on that corner. Oh, we did, okay. So that's on a different zoning lot though, right?
Okay.
So we kind of can't
be
friends.
just to be clear, I believe the only portion of the site that I would be interested in looking at the luminous spread for is just this here. So on right. This sidewalk here, they have some light poles here. So yeah. I would be interested in getting readings across the street on the sidewalk. They measure, I don't want to give them a hard time. If they measure on the sidewalk, let's say they take, this scale here is 20 feet. So if they put 5 measurements here and they are 0.01, 0.02, 0.01, 0.02, they are done. But if they measure here and they have significant readings, of course, from their side, they probably would need to think of doing some sort of shielding or mitigation. I don't think this is going to be the case, but I just wanted to make their life easier. And hopefully they're going to make the life of the community board easier as well by fixing the sidewalk. So readings just here. If you're good, you're done. If not, think about it. Thank you.
Okay, I just want to clarify, it's not a bad thing for the sidewalk on that side to be lit. What's a bad thing is to light the residential property at night, kills the grass, things like that, right? So
thank you for clarifying, but what I meant is, if they measure here and the luminous spread is kind of low, it's not gonna go high at the window location.
Yeah.
So if they measure here and it's kind of very low, they don't need to do nothing. They are done. But if they measure and you get 5, 4, 7, 8, then that means that they will need to either take another shot of readings here to prove it to us that they are not impacting the residential, or think of some sort of shielding. That's right. What I meant.
Okay, and I want to clarify a little further. We're learning that unfortunately there's a new market out there for making a lot of money from lumen spread diagrams, which have been required by this board for decades, I think. So now people are being charged exorbitant fees for these lumen spread diagrams.
Very exorbitant fees.
Yeah, ridiculous fees. So what I want to say is, I went online for 125. I see your hand up, Commissioner Vice Chair Sheldon. I went online and I found you can buy a light meter that takes foot candle readings for $125. You can also, for $3, get it on your phone, a little app. So you walk across the street and you do yourself your own measurements, either with your $125 meter or with the a suitable app on your phone. And so I don't want it to turn into something where you get, taken advantage of by consultants for something like this. And my feeling is that if you just hold the light meter to the top of the sidewalk, and if the meter reading is high, then you know that it's extending past the property line, or maybe in the middle of the sidewalk, you know, something like that. Okay. So yeah. Okay. This is something new that we're now trying to work out because of these consultants charging crazy fees for these lumen spread diagrams. Okay, Vice Chair Shanda. Oh, wait, I didn't hear from Commissioner Shibeta yet. Let's go to him.
Thank you, Chair. So most of my, I am echoing with what has already been said by my colleagues. I think most of my comments are with regard to just the impact that this applicant has on its neighbors. I think they should pay close attention to the CB community board's report, especially when it comes to regard to the sidewalk. In that same vein, I think I agree with Commissioner Shanda on the landscaping on both Edison and Grace, and further, like a more neighbor-friendly approach also would lend itself to an enclosed trash enclosure.
Yes. Okay. Thank you. Vice Chair Shanda? You're muted.
Oh, thank you. I just noticed from the aerial that the sidewalks, the sidewalk along Grace does not have any street lighting. So even when the church was built, no sidewalk, no street lighting was provided. I thought by DOT standards, some sidewalk lighting would be required. So I'm assuming this one, if there is not going to be any sidewalk lighting provided per DOT standard for this section of Grace Avenue abutting the subject lot, I think what we should keep in mind is the typical lumen level that a city sidewalk light requires, and if that's the amount of spillage that happens there, I would be okay with it.
Mm-hmm. Right, understood. Yeah, that's fair. I don't know. You know, that's an interesting question. I don't really understand DOT requirements for street lighting in the what they call the residential communities, because even on streets that are, you think of sort of dense midtown Manhattan residential areas, there's no street lighting. The street lighting's on the avenues. So, which is a little confusing because those are really active, sometimes quasi commercial streets with like mom and pop stores and things like that. And there's no street lighting. So maybe that's why Grace doesn't have the street lighting, but at the same time, this is a parking lot for a shopping center. I assume there's lighting at the shopping center. So to the extent that their lumen spread diagram shows that they're lighting the Grace Avenue new sidewalk, that would be great. That's like an added benefit.
Yeah.
As the community board said, many people walk down Grace to get to a bus stop that's right there. Plus you can see now there's people who live there, and people are going to the church and all of that who are walking down Grace to get there. So this would be an enormous improvement to their quality of life once they put the sidewalk in, put the fence and landscaping in, and we check on the status of the lumen spread. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Okay, we're done with comments on this case?
I think so.
Okay. The next item is continued hearing appeals calendar, item number 21, 2020-49A, 3830-28th Street, Queens.
28th Street, right? You said 28th.
28th Street, 3830-28th Street. Sorry.
Okay, thank you. I don't know. Maybe not. Sorry. It might have been me. As requested, a statement of serious loss comparing the prior zoning district designation to the new designation was provided. We also received three stacks of checks and invoices for expenses from February 2018 through November 2020 without any cover letter to tell us what these are, or breaking it down by totals per expenditure type or even overall totals. I do have to say, such submissions should never be accepted. They should just be rejected, because you can't just throw a pile of junk at us and expect us to review it. So what I would like is the applicant to provide a cover letter. It's not as nearly as big a stack as the one that we talked about this morning for a case that we decided, but the applicant needs to provide a cover letter for that part of the submission that tabulates the expenditures by type in support of their statement in the statement of facts that this X amount of money was spent relative to the vesting. The statement does say that was revised to explain that since 2017, the date of the last extension of time to complete, the owner has spent $535,000. So presumably that stack of stuff that was sent to us justifies the statement of $535,000. But unless we all sit there with our calculators, we don't know the answer to that. And it's incorrect to assume that the board is going to do that, and no reason why the applicant can't do that. But otherwise, I'm fine with this, and the letter could come even if we were to close. So, Vice Chair Shonda.
Yeah, I have no additional comments on this one.
Okay. Commissioner Ollie Brown?
The serious loss was adequately addressed through a zoning analysis chart that detailed what could be built in the old zoning versus the new zoning, plus a narrative that detailed that three stories at an initial construction cost of $452 a square foot would have to be removed, which results in a loss of $3.3 million. I'm okay with this.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Commissioner Shetha.
Thank you, Chair. Nothing further from me.
Thanks. Commissioner Shibeta?
I am fine with this application. Nothing further from me.
Okay.
Okay, this concludes the public review session for April 12th, 2021, 2 p.m. We are now commenced with the public hearing. We are now at the public hearing, April 12th, 2021, 2 p.m. session. The first item is continued hearing on the SOC calendar, item number 18-200-01BZ, 18215 Hillside Avenue, Queens.
Okay, we have a lot of people.
If you're a member of the applicant team, please press your... Please raise your hand in Zoom, or if you're on the telephone, please press star 9.
Yeah, it should be Eugene Pillman, I think.
Pillman? Yeah, there he is.
Yeah, Pillman.
Please raise your hand in Zoom, or if you're on the telephone, please press
star. Eugene, turn your YouTube off.
Yeah, it should be... Eugene Pillman, I think.
Pillman? Are you expecting anyone else?
Yes. The project architect, Thomas Catalato, was going to speak regarding the timing of filing the plans for the facade repair work.
Okay.
Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you. We attended your review session.
Well, I got to sway you in, Eugene. Sorry.
Wait. Just 1 second. We have Thomas Cataldo also. Let's let him get in here, and then he can raise his hand as well. Okay. Unmute yourself, please. Mr. Cataldo, unmute yourself.
Filing.
There we go.
Thank you.
Okay, let me swear you both in. Raise your right hand. Do you affirm to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth in your testimony before this board and to respond honestly to board member questions?
Yes.
Okay, please proceed, Mr. Pillman.
We attended your review session. In regard to the violation for the facade, we will pay the civil penalty, and we will make revisions to the statement of facts to clarify that the only open application is the fire alarm system and the new building application. In regard to the open items for application ending 0063, which is the old one enlargement, we will have to circle back in writing because, as the chair points out, there the elevator sign-off and the standpipe sign-off were not yet achieved. So we do need to get some clarity for the board as to why that has not yet occurred, and we'll submit in writing. I believe there was also a request to discuss timing of the application to repair the facade, and I'll defer to Mr. Catalano to speak on that.
Good afternoon. Catello Engineering was hired by Bound Associates to prepare their facade plans for their FISP Local Law 11 repair work. We've received four bids. We had a pre-bid walkthrough, and we've just received four bids. Ownership is now reviewing those bids to select a vendor. Once a vendor is selected, we can then proceed with the Department of Buildings filing. As part of the Department of Buildings filing, we will need to have an asbestos investigation performed. Those typically take 2 to 3 weeks for the investigation to be performed and the results provided. So I would anticipate having the facade filing into the facade repair work filing into the Department of Buildings within the next 4 to 6 weeks. And then construction will commence. The bidders, the two lowest bidders had construction timeframes of approximately 6 to 9 months. So this will get us into the early part of 2022. When the facade repair work is completed, we will sign off the application as well as proceed with filing of their ninth cycle FISP report.
So are you also doing the expediting, or you have an expediter?
The expediting, we have a sub-consultant who does the expediting for us, but it's done through our office.
Okay. So my question is, do you know whether the violation for this facade repair that's connected with a local law 11, or it's unrelated to that?
The violation was for failure to correct the previously noted swamp conditions from the eighth cycle. And that was what the violation was for.
I see. So do you know whether that would hold up your ability to pull a CO?
We're not going to be able to sign off or have this violation certified as completed until the facade repairs are completed in the early part of 2022.
No, I'm not talking about, so some kinds of violations hold up the issuance of a CO and some don't. My question is, does this type of violation hold up the issuance of a CO?
We believe that it does, but at the same time, as pointed out, we believe that it, you know, if the board allows us 2 more years to complete, then this would be plenty of time to fix the facade and get this violation submitted a certificate of completion.
Okay, but let's say it doesn't. So for your next submission, can you verify whether it's actually going to hold it up? Because it sort of doesn't make sense. The facade, the local law 11 review doesn't go to the occupancy. So not really sure. Whereas, for instance, an open alteration one goes to the occupancy. So that's, or an open public assembly permit or something like that goes to the occupancy. So I could understand why that would hold up a CO. Can you verify?
We'll review the administrative code, absolutely.
Yeah. Well, either that or through the expediter, who's probably got a lot of experience with what holds things up, one way or the other. Okay.
That sounds good.
Okay. All right. Anything else? Any other questions from commissioners? All right. Let's go to the public then.
Okay, the application we are currently discussing is 201BZ, 18215 Hillside Avenue, Queens. Should you wish to call in to discuss this application at 646-558-8656, Zoom Web ID number is 980-8017-7229. And the passcode is 037669, should you need it. You can raise your hand to speak. If you're calling in, it is *9 and *6 to unmute.
Okay. So let's see. There are a lot of people in the waiting room. Two of which are
case.
Probably, but two of which called in. So if you called in using your telephone and you want to speak on this case, the one that we're hearing right now, then raise your Zoom hand by pressing *9. And anybody else in the waiting room who wants to speak, please raise your Zoom hand.
This is for 200-01BZ, 18215 Hillside Avenue, Queens only.
Right, okay, thank you. So Mr. Pillman, how much time do you need to prepare the revised statement of facts to indicate what other things are needed to be corrected in order to obtain the CO?
I think 8 weeks to be on the safe side.
That's to prepare your...
Well, we'd have to coordinate with the architect because there's an elevator sign off and a standpipe sign off that haven't been obtained from the original application. So we do need to investigate that a little bit.
Okay, so this is just about investigation and writing the statement of facts, right? And in the meantime, maybe some stuff can be signed off, like paying the ECB by
letter. Absolutely.
Right, okay. All right. And then you're also going to check about whether that facade violation will hold up obtaining a CO, but it sounds like with 8 weeks, you may even get pretty far along in say, engaging the contractor who's going to do the work, right? Mr.
Yes, I believe so.
Mr. Cataldo, does that make sense?
It does make sense, yes.
Okay, all right then. So for the next submission, and I'm actually going to close this because as long as we get those things, I don't see anything going to the substance of the case. Are commissioners okay with that? Yes, okay. So between now and then, you're going to submit what we just discussed, the statement of facts to reflect the reality of the sign-offs that are needed to get the CFO. The status then by that time of the engagement of the contractor is going to do the Local Law 11 repairs and information about the facade violation, whether that will hold up the CO. And I think that's it. Right. And the time frame for if you could put in writing what Mr. Cataldo said about the timing for selecting the contractor, filing the plans to repair and then conducting the repairs. So that would be in the statement of facts. So we know how long we're talking about. And of course, adding that violation to the statement of facts. Okay.
Yeah. And we'll have the fees paid as well, the $2,500.
Okay. All right then. So I'd like to make a motion to close.
Chair Perlmutter?
Aye.
Vice Chair Chanda?
Aye.
Commissioner Otley Brown?
Aye.
Commissioner Shetta?
Aye.
Commissioner Shibetta?
Aye.
Okay, thank you.
Great, thank you.
Item number 19, 395-04BZ, 1232 54th Street, Brooklyn.
Hello.
Hello.
I'm here. Yeah, why isn't that?
Are you muted?
No, I unmuted.
No, he's not muted.
Well, okay. There we go.
Mr. Freeman. Are you the only one, Ms. Moish?
Myself and Lynn.
I'm here.
Yeah.
Hi,
Lynn.
I think you need me.
Okay, raise your hand. Do you affirm to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth in your testimony before this board and to respond honestly to board member questions?
Yes, I do.
Please proceed.
Okay, thank you. We listened to the review session, so I'll just give you a couple of comments and then whatever questions you have, I'll answer. In regard to let's start with the windows, because that was the most. The neighbor in the back, it's good. I'm the applicant and at the building department from the beginning of this application many years ago till now. I've done all the plans and everything. So I remember at the community board, the neighbor in the back just didn't want people looking into his backyard. what was happening. So we promised to put windows that are frosted or something that people couldn't see in the back. Mm-hmm. In the original iteration of this plan, there was only one set of windows on the lower floor. When the second amendment, when it went to a four-story building, it got a little bit higher in the second set of windows. But the truth is all the windows should be frosted, which is what was meant, so that it cuts down on the light and nobody can see into the backyard.
So when you say all the windows in the rear?
In the rear.
Even right. Up at the apartment level?
No, not at the apartment level, okay. All the way back. And they didn't care about that because okay. Every apartment has. But the synagogue, somehow there was a lot of people and they didn't want. Okay. Also, it's interesting with the pipe, with the vent. The reason that's there, because in the original iteration of this plan, the mikvah was in the back. So all the exhaust from the mikvah, the neighbor didn't want into his backyard. The mikvah is no longer in the back. But I will show the vent from the bathroom also. It should go to the roof and it should not go, it's illegal to go to the back. It's on the lot line, so it's not a problem.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Now with the trash, the compactor, I like your idea. That's a very good idea. We'll put in a small contractor. And we were thinking of just putting in a small refrigerator for the very little refrigerated trash. It's a small hall. It's not even a public assembly. It's less than 70 people. So, we'll try and look into a compactor and give you the cut sheet.
Okay. There's also, because we learned about this at the daycare center, there's a refrigerated compactor. It's little. It's like a size of an undercounter refrigerator, you know, okay. And it compacts it and it's cold.
Good. So, that sounds like a good idea. I'll look into it. I'll call up staff and see what it was so I can make them go faster.
Okay. So staff, I don't remember whose case this was. Maybe Jella's?
It's Jella.
Yeah, remember, and I think that was Steve Simicich's case? No, who?
No.
It was a Cooper Avenue daycare facility.
Oh, that's right.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. And so they have all the cuts and it tells you, actually, Ms. Friedman is the one who knows her calculations backwards and forwards. So she'll recognize the argument that was given by the applicant on that case about adequate. Okay. Good. Anything else? I think that covers it, right?
Right. Sound attenuation on the windows. They're on anyway. You can't put less than a double pane glass today anyway because of energy calculation. Okay. So all the windows today are double paned and sound attenuated.
Okay. So if you could make notes on the drawings to the effect of what you said.
Yes.
That would be great. What, Tony?
No, I'm saying that was it. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Great. So notes on the drawings about opaque windows, trash compactor things, and the vent pipe, and the double pane, double glazed.
Double pane glass. I'm going to put the note over. By the way, on the original approved plan from the board, it had that little note about the opaque glass on the back windows. Somehow it dropped out through the iterations that went happen.
Yeah,
so it's going to come. I have all the records in front of me. So I still have all those records. So I will put it back and I'm going to put opaque in parentheses, translucent. The windows.
Yeah, Tony.
You had asked also about the, I don't know if it's, well, now you want to ask him about the loans?
Huh?
The AG thing about the loans?
So that was, That was just curiosity. Maybe you know the answer, maybe you don't, because you're not.
I have no idea.
So at the synagogue, right. So
the synagogue kept on thinking, oh, we're going to sell, we're going to build. And it just kept building on itself.
Right. Yeah. It's a little bit curiosity. The more I think about it, the more I think you probably still have to go to the attorney general, even if you were just taking out a loan against the value of your other property, because
sounds right, but
I don't know. Anyway,
not my ballywick.
Never mind. Okay. So therefore, let's go to the public.
Okay. So the application we are currently discussing is 39504BZ, 1232 54th Street, Brooklyn. Should you wish to call in, it is 646-558-8656. The webinar ID number is 980-8017-7229. The passcode, should you need it, is 037-669. And once you are in, you can raise star 9 to raise your hand to speak and star 6 to unmute. And if you're in the Zoom room, also raise your hand.
Okay, give it a second. Mr. Friedman, how much time?
I can have, if I can get a hold of Jella by Wednesday, I'm not, we'll have it within 2 weeks.
Okay, I'm going to
only a couple of notes on the plans and a cut sheet, really.
Okay. All right, then. All right, let me see. I don't think there's anybody with their hands up. Oh, there is somebody with their hand up. Nope. Who's the somebody with it? No, they took their hand down. Okay. Yeah.
So we are only discussing 39504BZ, 1232 54th Street. That's the only case being discussed currently.
Okay. Vice Chair Shonda had her hand up. That's the person.
You're muted.
You're muted again.
Sorry, I just raised it. Will the opaque window be also going along the side lot, or it would be just the rear?
The own the neighbor at the side was very happy with the fireproof self-closing windows. That's the same owner still as it was then, so they didn't request it. That's why it says only at the rear.
Yeah. Okay.
But nobody would say no to nice stained glass windows or something like that if you came up with that. That would be nice. Anyway, okay. Okay, so then I would like to make a motion to close this. And so the only thing that has to happen is you submitting the drawings, right? So, and correct. We'll let you know what that exact next decision date is, okay? Thanks. So then I'd like to make a motion to close.
Chair Perlmutter?
Aye.
Vice Chair Chanda?
Aye.
Commissioner Otley Brown?
Aye.
Commissioner Shetta?
Aye.
Commissioner Shibeta?
Aye.
The application is closed.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, everyone. Bye.
Take care. New case, item number 20, 1201BZ, 2829 Edson Avenue, The Bronx.
Good afternoon, Jessica Rubenstein on behalf of the applicant. So we just attended your...
No, I have to sway you in, but how many people? Sorry. Dan Eggers? Who else? Josh? That's it, Jessica? Just those three?
Dan Eggers, Josh Bissinger, Herman Rodriguez, Dennis Flynn.
That's your team, okay. Okay, now I want to sway you in. Everybody's ready?
Yes.
Mr. Bissinger, you want to unmute yourself?
Yep.
There are a couple more to join in just a second.
That's German.
Mr. Rodriguez.
Mr. Torres is the community board.
Okay. And it's Herman. Okay. I have it.
Ceremon.
Yeah, okay. Got it.
Okay. Ready? Everybody's there? Okay, raise your right hands. Do you affirm to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth in your testimony before this board and to respond honestly to board member questions? Everybody respond?
Yes.
I do.
I do.
Okay. I do.
Okay, Ms. Rubenstein, begin.
Good afternoon, Jessica Rubenstein, on behalf of the applicant. We just heard your board's comments on our application, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I think I really boiled down all of the comments into 5 main categories that I'd like to go over. So the first is obviously the most pressing one, the sidewalk. As your board heard, we went to the community board back in December, and in December, that's when the land use committee brought up the fact that a sidewalk in front of our property along Grace Avenue was never installed. And we went through that history, and the chair went through that as well. So basically the sidewalk was waived by DOT in 2006. But regardless, the church built out Graves Avenue and our client has agreed to build out the sidewalk. We apologize. We don't know why. We had sent in a letter from the owner with our cover letter. For some reason, I don't know if we accidentally didn't submit it or it didn't get uploaded for whatever reason, but we have that for you. It's ready to go. And I think if you read that letter, it'll answer a lot of your questions, because the owner talks about how they hired McLaren Engineering to draft the construction documents for the sidewalk before they hired McLaren, actually, in anticipation of our January community board meeting. Dennis, who's here with us at the hearing, he drafted a schematic design of the proposed sidewalk. That went to McLaren. McLaren is now working on new plans. And with that letter, we submitted a timeline by which we anticipate construction will begin and end. So we hope, and we are still on track on this timeline, which we came up with last month, that construction of the sidewalk will begin in June. And we're hoping that it'll be completed by September 1st. Mm-hmm. Right now we're in the phase where McLaren did draft the plans, and they sent the plans to Acadia Realty, who's the owner of the site. And Acadia and McLaren are currently going back and forth right now with edits on the plans, and they hope to submit the paperwork for permitting to DOB and DOT by mid-May.
Mm-hmm. Great.
We have all this in writing. So we will submit that letter to you. As we have it, and we thought we submitted it, and we hope that'll clarify a lot. And hi, George. I see George from the community board is also here at the hearing. So he can also speak to your board about the conversation that took place. I think I just summarized everything accurately, but I'm always open to hear what George has to say as well.
About the sidewalk. Okay.
You're saying that the design and the construction of this sidewalk will take from now until September?
No, they have to get approvals.
That's right.
You can't just build a sidewalk, right?
Yeah, I understand. But like drafting this and submitting to DOB and getting the approval and constructing this piece of sidewalk is going to be like 6 months?
Well, right now we're in the middle of April. And so we're saying that by next month, hopefully by mid-May, we'll have the paperwork needed to submit for permits. So really we're just asking for a month from now, and then it'll take some time to get the approval. We're anticipating construction would start within a month of submitting that paperwork. So that brings us to June. And then we have July and August to build out the sidewalk. There were some site constraints with the sidewalk, which makes this a little more difficult than just putting down pavement. So the elevation of Grace Avenue was built out a little higher than the site. I don't have a picture, right? I can get a picture actually to show it to you. But because of that, a retaining wall needs to be built in order to construct the sidewalk. Mm-hmm. So, do you understand what I'm saying? That the street is not level with the site.
I think it's higher, right?
Right.
It's higher by like 3 feet.
That's right. So yeah. You're mm-hmm. on the street, our site slopes down. And mm-hmm. because of that, we need to build a retaining wall when we construct the sidewalk.
Yeah, I see that. I see. Yep. I just noticed that. Yep.
So, yes. So as not to create double the work, since we're also talking about wanting fencing and landscaping put along that border there, the engineer who's preparing the drawings for the sidewalk should coordinate with the planting bed that is in that location, I believe already, I think there's already a bed there, to make sure that there's a place for the fence and the footings for the fence, and also for the planting bed. So it all shows up on essentially one drawing, even though DOT indeed is only interested in the sidewalk, it affects the interior of the lot. And I assume therefore also you have a survey, because we don't. So we need the survey to understand where the sidewalk and the fence is relative to the property line.
We have a survey and we'll submit it.
Okay.
The landscaping and fencing was going to be the next topic. So we covered that. The last three topics that the board discussed during review session were, you wanted clarification on the zoning lot's history, lumen analysis, and the dumpster. So in response to more clarification on the site's history, Greenberg Traurig, our office, will revise our statement of facts to hopefully make it a little more clear for you, so you understand how this site came to be, because as the chair mentioned, there is one zoning lot and two tax lots. It's a little confusing because they look like they share a parking lot. So we'll discuss that in our paperwork. Mm-hmm. In terms of the lumen analysis, we hired New York Design Architects to conduct the lumen analysis for us. And I heard your board's comments on hiring these consultants, but we didn't know that before you mentioned it at today's review session. So they finished their report. They actually finished it this morning, and we didn't want to submit it this morning saying and okay. say, oh, we submitted it, but we knew you wouldn't have time to review it. So we'll submit that. Okay. Okay. For the next submission. And the fifth topic was just about the dumpster and the enclosure, and we will also address that just like we're addressing the landscaping and the fencing.
Okay, great. So, and I'm not sure if you've listened to other hearings where this board has shifted away from allowing chain link fence dumpster enclosures. They last like 4 months and then they look terrible. So the And usually what we see, which is a pretty good solution, is a decorative finish on the masonry block, and then steel doors so that it really holds up to wear. So, and if you need details on it, we now have a few cases where there are details for that.
Okay, that would be great. I'll follow up with the project manager maybe to get a picture mm-hmm. that we can use as a sample.
Okay, great. Thanks. Okay. Anything else? Yeah.
Regarding the signage, whether illuminated and the height of the sign and whether it's complying with the underlying zoning, if you could confirm.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I forgot about that one. So the sign is illuminated and it rises to 40 feet, which is the same height that it was approved. And that also complies with the maximum height of new signs in C4 districts, which was the district that was used as a comparable district when the variance was approved.
C4. Oh, it's true because there's C4 across the street. But the illumination, the size of the illuminated sign, that complies with the illumination requirements, or was it approved as an illuminated sign? That's the question.
It was approved as an illuminated sign, and the board issued, I'm not sure if it was a letter of no objection or a letter of substantial compliance, but in that letter that we submitted, it confirmed that the sign was supposed to be illuminated, because there was that question, I guess, back in that letters from like either 2003, 2004, and that question came up again, and the board addressed it saying that it could be illuminated.
Okay. And Tony Matias, you had a comment?
Oh, I was going to, I may wait. I was just thinking about the other application about piggybacking this with the other one, but that's after you have all this conversation. Yeah,
I'm not sure we're going to be able to do it. Let's see if, how quickly they respond to that notice of comments and that kind of thing. At some point, maybe they'll travel together.
Right. Tony was correct. We are the applicants also for, we filed that application. Unfortunately, we only got the storage facility to sign on after we filed the application on behalf of Acadia. So obviously we should have brought the applications together, but that was sort of out of our control. So we did file the application for extra space about a month ago.
Okay. Oh, and so in terms of the history of the lot, we also talked about cross easements or something. Since you don't own both tax lots, shouldn't there be a cross easement and agreement between the two if you need access to that other side?
So we just discussed that quickly with the owner. We'll look into it. We didn't see anything on Acris, but we'll review again. The only thing I remember seeing was there was an old agreement with Verizon about providing three parking spaces for the Verizon CEV on lot 32. But we have to dig into that a little bit more because offhand, we don't remember seeing anything. But we really just have to look into it.
Okay, because it looks like if the this grant for this site was 90 parking spaces, it doesn't look from the drawings like all 90 are on your tax lot. It looks like 8 or 10 of them sit on the other tax lot.
Right, so I need to look at the plans a little more closely, but I do think that the board approved 93 parking spaces and throughout the site, throughout the history of the application, that number of spaces went up and went down, but it didn't explicitly say a total of 93 and let's say 85 on the Acadia property. And
yeah, but it said 90 for this retail use and 3 for the storage use. That okay. That it does say in the resolution. That's how I came up with 90.
Right.
So, okay. I don't know where 90 comes from, but that's that was what was granted.
Yeah, so we have to look back into that and we'll get back to you in writing on that.
Okay, and Vice Chair Shonda.
That's what, Ms. Rubenstein, it's good to see you. I haven't seen you in a long time. My question was with regards to the maneuverability, and that's why I was asking for the access easement. Whether the trucks coming to the shopping complex is accessing through Grace Avenue or through Edson.
So the architect told me that he can draw an arrow on the plans to show you how the trucks get in and out.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Would that be okay?
Yes. But, you know, because there's, as far as I can tell, there's only the one loading dock on Edson. Right? Or is that part? No, on Edson. So the trucks that are going, it's not really a loading dock. It's sort of like a parking spot. And it's pretty far away from where they would be bringing the boxes or the flats. So I don't totally understand the location of that so-called loading dock. It's not, it's like a loading space, parking space. Whereas for the storage facility, those are loading docks where the truck backs right up into the dock, right? So those make more sense on the location. So it's a little confusing about what that is other than a parking spot for a truck. So if they could clarify how it's used, that would be helpful.
We will. We'll show it on the plans.
Okay. Anything else from any questions from commissioners or anything else from your consultants? Okay. So then, let's go to the public.
This application is 12-01BZ 2829 Edson Avenue, the Bronx. If you wish to call in, it's 646-558-8656. Zoom webinar ID number is 980-8017-7229. The passcode is 037-669. And if you're in the Zoom room, you can raise your hand. If you call in, it's *9 to raise your hand on the phone and *6 to unmute.
So we have two people who called into that room.
But the community board, Mr. Torres is here, Mr.
Berger. Yeah, no, I know that. But we have two people who called in who are in the waiting room in Zoom. And I just want to ask them if they would like to speak on this you raise your Zoom hand by dialing *9. And anybody else who's in the waiting room, please raise your Zoom hand if you'd like to speak on this. But while we wait to see if anybody there wants to, Mr. Torres, would you like to speak on this?
Yes. You can hear me okay?
Yes. Yes, sir.
Just, I guess, some professional advice. I prepared a statement, but in the hearing earlier, you guys kind of agreed to everything that we had asked for. So I don't know if I should amend my statement.
You should amend. Just say what you think.
Okay. All right. So I'm going to try and be very brief. Good afternoon, and thank you for allowing me to participate in this hearing. I will be brief. My name is George Torres, and I am the district manager for Community Board 12 in the Bronx. I'm joined by several board members this afternoon. I'd like to first start by thanking Carlo, Jella, Tony, and Vinroy at BSA for their help. When we held our land use meetings, they attended and offered invaluable insight on this matter. Carlo may not recall manager in August of 2015. This was one of the very first things I spoke to BSA about. I'd also like to extend my gratitude to Jessica Rubenstein at Greenberg Traurig and her team representing Acadia Bartel LLC on this matter. They have been very responsive and have worked on addressing our concerns. Basically, everything else reinforces all the points that you had made before. The only thing that I will say, or I guess add, our concern as a community board stems from the fact that we have had other BSA applications be approved and then not necessarily fall into compliance years later. And that is our concern. So when you were testifying or when you were asking questions and agreeing with many of our concerns, it was really satisfying. And really, I was very grateful to the commissioners for their insight on this, because it really reinforced, you know, what we had been telling people. We're asking that this be put into abeyance until the sidewalk is built. You know, time-wise, this may not fit into the variance timeline because their variance expires in July. And I know that they're looking at submitting in mid-May to DOB for the builder's pavement plan. But, you know, that's what worries us as a community board. We just want to make sure, because the concern is once the variance is granted, there are really not many mechanisms to claw back at this. Sure, DOB can write a violation that would probably only be in effect until we redo this 20 years from now, or if they need a permit for something else that they were doing. But if they didn't need a permit or they didn't have to come back before BSA, then they could basically get away with this, not building the sidewalk until the next BSA hearing 20 years from now, which is also, in effect, the reason why we don't want to eliminate the variance at all. This is the only thing that gets them to come back to the community board to hold them accountable. And we're all about accountability at the community board. And with that, I will conclude my statements.
Thank you. Very helpful. And we do appreciate your testimony and the letter that you submitted that was very clear and strong and obviously alerted the board members to the concerns, so that when they were reviewing the application, our antenna were vibrating at the subject. So we will hold off on a decision until we see the sidewalk in place. And that is sort of our standard modus of operation, unless it's a completely new construction site where there's, you know, we'd be waiting for years. I don't believe that the filing of a builder's pavement plan to build out a sidewalk has anything at all to do with whether or not the variance is approved, because it's not affecting the use on that lot. And so I think they can proceed even without us. And also, you know, the argument would be, of course, that it's in hearing and we're reviewing it and it's a condition of our approval that they install the sidewalk. So sometimes we have these conversations with DOB and DOT, so they allow that to proceed, even if they're arguably waiting for us. So, and the other thing I wanted to point out for the purpose of your community board, if you have other sites that are not in compliance with the terms of the grant, you don't need to wait until their term expires. You can complain to us, and then we actually send out, we have a compliance officer, Ted Ricketts, who's somewhere on one of these boxes. The compliance officer will visit the site and report back to us on the condition, and also file a complaint with DOB to get DOB to send out an inspector who may or may not issue a violation. And based on what we learn from our compliance officer, if it turns out it's not in compliance, we can haul the owner in for a compliance hearing and threaten, and even have done so sometimes, to occasionally to revoke the approval, which is not a pretty thing for a property owner. Yeah, Commissioner Schett has his hand up, and then Tony. So let me do it in order.
Go ahead.
Commissioner Schett.
Thank you, Chair. I'm just curious if there is an elevation difference between the street and the site of about 3 feet. I just would like to get some pictures for the perimeters to check what is holding the street from the site. And I just wanted them to assure us that the conditions of that, like, interface between the street and the site is safe. I don't want somebody like walk by the, like, close to the fence or so, because I've seen even cars parking there. So I would recommend them to make sure that if they have a wall there, it's stable. If they don't have a wall, they have a safe condition there. I just wanted to point out this. Thank you.
And that's just between now and them starting on the construction. It's not, okay, thank you.
Sure.
Thank you. Tony, go ahead.
Just so I want to remind the board, one of the serious contentions or concerns of the community board when we all attended, as related by the district manager, is the term. I don't know if the applicant is still requesting extinguishing the term.
Right.
And so that's a concern of Mr. Torres and the community.
Right.
That they really were not going to vote on this. And you can correct me if I'm wrong, Mr. Torres, because we did attend both meetings, staff and I, that they were reluctant to sort of go forward with this because they were concerned about the extinguishment of the term.
Right.
That is correct.
So every commissioner has their own position on this.
I'm just reminding
you. That when you have a variance in a residence district, it's not a good idea to eliminate the terms because the conditions of the community can change. Like right now, the Bartow Avenue frontage is really, really commercial. And so that tax block is a commercial tax block. But if Grace Avenue, for instance, becomes more and more residential, I mean, it's already sort of headed that way, then you want protections between those two functions. And you don't have any other way of doing it except by having them return periodically for a sort of like a checkup, unless the community board really understands that and so somewhere that's emblazoned on the wall of the office, that when there's a problem with a BSA site, that the community board should sort of do occasional drive-bys and then report out that there's this case that is in non-compliance, then the board has the authority to bring it back. Otherwise, it doesn't really have the authority to bring it back. So, Mr. Torres, did you want to say something else?
No, just I was agreeing with Tony, and just to make mention that my chairman of the community board, Dr. Michael Burke, is also here to testify.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, Mr. Burke, would you like to speak?
Well, first of all, I want to thank you, Chairwoman Perlmutter, and commissioners for allowing us to speak. Pretty much the district manager, Mr. Torres, has said everything. So I just really want to thank you for your astute attentiveness to recognizing all of our concerns, in that you have recognized our concerns and agree with our concerns. You know, we affirm your decision. And again, thank you for doing that for us. So on behalf of the district manager and constituents of Community Board 12, again, and there are several on this call, we thank you for your decision. We look forward to working with you.
Thank you. Appreciate that. Anybody else? I don't see anyone in the waiting room with their hands up. There's a hand up to speak. Does anyone else from the team want to speak or questions from commissioners? We've already asked the public to dial in, but this is another opportunity to do so. So then I'm going to ask Ms. Rubenstein how much time to respond to the issues that you can respond to now. Give us that missing owner's commitment letter, the any information, or to create like a cross easement if one isn't already created, since you obviously represent both owners now, though that's kind of strange because maybe you can't negotiate an agreement between these two owners. you can't actually, unless they waive, one of them waives a conflict. That's the only way you can do it. Okay, or both of them waive the conflict. Let's see what else. This history of the zoning lot, designing of the dumpster enclosure, and Jella will provide you with a detail. Right, Jella, you have in mind something, or we can help you with that?
I'll help out with that.
Yeah, we can take a sample.
Okay. And then clarifying the illumination on the sign, just in your statement of facts and on the drawings, maneuverability about access to that other site. That's more or less it, right? Landscaping, drawings, all that stuff. Okay, how much time? Yeah, Mr. Torres, you had a question?
You're muted, Mr. Torres.
I did, sorry. It's not for this application, but the only thing that I wanted to note, and we were gonna come back for 1301BZ, which is the address for that, I think, is 2826 Edson Avenue. There is also frontage of a sidewalk on Arno Avenue on Arno Avenue between Grace and Edson. And that is what the DOT considers an unfinished street. So there is no sidewalk, there's no street. It's basically a parking lot right now. But I've spoken to DOT, DCAT, and DCAS in regards to who's operating that that facility, and no, it seems to be operating.
No one is, I think, right?
Yeah, no one's operating.
I remember the emails. Yeah.
Yeah. So DOT had promised to put a highway barrier so that they couldn't access Arno Avenue between Edson and Grace. But what I'm asking for, and again, this is not for 1201, but for 13, because extra space storage fronts Arno Avenue, that sidewalk be built on the other side on Arno Avenue between Grace and Bartow. So that's, I don't know if it's too early to raise that as an issue now because, you know, they're doing both simultaneously.
So the case isn't before us, but because you have Ms. Rubenstein in the room with you, conceptually, literally in the room with you, you might as well bring it up with her, but now she's kind of on notice that she needs to discuss that with her client and with you. Okay. All right. Okay.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Ms. Rubenstein, how much time to respond?
Yeah, I'm just waiting to hear back from my team to see how much time they need.
So how about this, since the team is probably writing right now, I'm going to write and we can change it if you let me know. Let Jella or Tony know in the next day.
It's Vinroy's case, really. So,
sorry, Vinroy.
Vinroy's a project manager. Yes.
I'm sorry, Vinroy. Speak up. Say no. It's my case. I didn't scroll.
That's okay, Chair. They have done well. They've helped a lot, and they brought the experience to bear on it.
Okay, so just to, because this is Vinroy's case, Vinroy, contacting Jella to come up with a detail. So that, you know, for the trash enclosure, because I don't want to take this out of your able hands and give it to somebody else when it's yours, okay? So, So what I wanted to say was, if Ms. Rubenstein, you can't come up with the timing right now because you have so many people involved, what you can do is let us know in a couple of days. I'm going to write it down tentatively for like 5 weeks.
Okay.
And if that turns out to be not enough, you can always.
Okay, we'll let you know. Because we are going back to the community board in June to show
the other case.
No, for us to show them the progress that we've made on the sidewalk.
Okay. All right. So I'm just going to mark down 5 weeks, but if you change, if it's a different amount, let us know. And it, by like end of business day tomorrow.
Great.
Or really Wednesday, actually.
So okay. 5 weeks to submit?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. All right, everyone. Thank you so much.
I have a question. I have a question. And I think the reason I'm raising it is now that I know the other application is also going to come in, it also affects both of these sites. I want to, and since the community is also here, the most of the truck access to the site and in future it will be to the sites, is it from Edson Avenue?
To be honest, I'm not sure.
I thought that's what the engineer was going to tell us, right? They're going to
right. Yeah. It is just the reason I'm asking the question. It's just trying to separate out the truck traffic from residential and trying to make sure most of the truck traffic stays on Edson and less on Grace Avenue.
Right.
That's why I asked that question.
I live in Co-op City, which is on the other side of the highway. This is right on 95. The problem is that the extra space storage curb cut on Edson Avenue is before the exit for 95 southbound. Southbound. So if you're traveling on 95 southbound, you're forced to go to Bartow Avenue, make that, and come around and enter on Grace Avenue.
Okay. Okay. So it's unavoidable. Okay. All right. Thank you.
I'm sorry. Say that one more time. So you can't turn right on Bartow if you're a truck?
No, you can. You if you're coming off, let's say you're coming off 95 south of the highway, the exit is beyond the entrance on Edson Avenue. So only local traffic can enter on Edson Avenue.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Oh,
it, okay. So
yeah, if so, you wanted, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, so my question is, so there's an access way from Bartow. So if you're coming off of the highway and you turn right onto Bartow, you could take an immediate right or almost immediate right after the gas station. And then you can go into the area where the one so-called truck dock is for this retail use.
You would make a right on Grace Avenue.
No, there's an access.
That's not a curb cut.
Yeah, that's not a curb cut.
Really?
It's a pedestrian walkway, and there's a bus stop right there. So it's really not the place where you want to access the site from Bartow.
That's weird.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. And the entrance to the Grace, you know, if that's the turn that they're making basically right.
Yes.
Then they're not encroaching onto the rest of the residential, and that's okay with me.
Mm-hmm.
As long as it's not, the traffic is not coming down Grace towards Bartow, it's mostly coming from Bartow to Grace to enter the site, that's okay. Because you're minimizing the residential conflict. That's okay with me.
So the answer might be different for the storage facility. They might be forced then to drive on that service road on Edson and then directly into the storage facility, because that's a lot of big trucks.
Yeah, it is.
You don't want them coming down Grace.
If you're coming local and you're a truck, you would have to get off of 95 at the Connor Avenue exit, which is the one before.
Okay.
If you're coming 95 south, and then, like you said, make a left onto Throgs Neck Expressway Service Road, and then navigate residential neighborhoods until you get to Edson Avenue. It's probably a 5-minute drive, so it's not that major, but it is easier if you got off at the Bartow Avenue exit, made the right, then made the right on Grace Avenue. It's a much shorter commute.
So this is again to alert Ms. Rubenstein to this for her other application, that obviously the maneuverability of the storage facility that arguably has a lot of big truck traffic, that we're going to need to see truck traffic information and trips and how they maneuver onto the site. Okay. But anyway, we don't want to be hearing somebody else's case. It's just that it's true that we have
the community board before us on, at this moment, and that's helpful. So yeah,
it's helpful for us to know what issues to anticipate. So that's fine with us.
So, and it, and I think we're going to try to make those two cases travel in tandem. So, so let's work on having that happen so it's not a disjointed review. Okay. Commissioner Otley Brown, did you have a question? No. Okay. All right. So that's it then. So thank you very much, everyone. Appreciate very much, especially participation of the community board. We'll let you know when the continuation date is. Okay.
Okay, great. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Appeals calendar, item, a continued hearing, item number 21, 2020-49A, 3830 28th Street, Queens.
Hello, everyone. So we listened to your review session, and we are happy to provide a cover letter that breaks down all the expenditures. But otherwise, I think the case is ready to be closed, as you had said earlier. And so we're hoping to close it out and vote hopefully today, and we can provide the just a breakdown of the expenditures, just make it easy to read for you as soon as possible. So hopefully this week.
So you think only a week to submit? Okay.
Yes.
So so what, just to clarify what we need, okay. So your letter says $535,000. We don't need to swear in, it's an A case. Okay. The letter says $535,000. So presumably that stack of stuff is representing the $535,000. So
yes,
cover letter, the cover tabulation should be broken down by typologies, right? Mm-hmm. And yes, then the total should be somewhere in the ballpark of $535,000. Otherwise, it needs to explain why it's not. It can't be like, here's $200,000 worth of stuff, take our word for it that there were $300,000. We just feel it in our bones.
Right? Understood. Yes, absolutely. I'll be working with the owner to get that to you as soon as I can.
Okay, great. Thank you. Any other questions, comments? Commissioner, staff? No? Okay.
From the closes?
No, we need to speak to the community.
Oh, the public, sorry. The application we are currently discussing is item number 21, 2020-49A, 3830 28th Street, Queens. Should you wish to call in, it is 646-558-8656. The webinar ID number is 980-8017-7229. And the passcode is 037669. And if you are calling in, you should *9 to raise your hand and *6 to unmute. And if you're in the Zoom room already, please raise your Zoom hand.
Go. And again, we have two callers. Not sure which case they've called in for, but if you want to speak on this case, to raise your Zoom hand in with a phone number, it's *9. Okay. So, I always give a little padding on the promises of a week because we think it's a week and then it's not a week. So I'm writing 2 weeks to submit, okay? And we'll try to match that up with a hearing soon, okay?
Is there any way to vote on it and make it contingent on?
No.
Okay. No. Or the shot.
So we never
don't close and vote on the same day.
Yeah. So in the back in the pre, whatever we call this era, we used to have what were known as closed votes. We no longer are able to do that because of the complexity of our Zoom hearings. But we also learned that it was actually not such a great thing to do closed votes because it didn't give our council time to draft the resolutions. So now the council has been doing an amazing job of having the resolutions basically ready by the time of the vote. So there's hardly any delay from vote to receipt of resolutions. So in the end, it's a much better solution, and that's the way we're gonna continue to do it, okay?
Okay, perfect. So then I'll get on that. Thank you, everyone.
Okay, thank you.
Motion to close?
Yes. Motion to
Chair
close.
Chair Perlmutter?
Aye.
Vice Chair Chanda?
Aye.
Commissioner Otley Brown?
Aye.
Commissioner Sheha?
Aye.
Commissioner Shibeta?
Aye.
So this application is closed for decision.
Okay.
All righty.
And
that's it. So this concludes the public hearing for April 12, 2021, 2 p.m. We'll see you tomorrow.
Those other people that are in the waiting room might have been with the community board and they just chose not to speak. Thank you, everyone. See you.